Hello, folks. I hope you are doing well. I hope your relationships are full of life, even in this age of COVID. I'm here with my beautiful wife, Lisa.
Hi, everyone. I hope you're having a great weekend.
And on the last podcast, you've heard a true love story. And don't worry, we got more of those to come. We got some everyday people with some amazing love stories, and we'll be getting to more of that in podcasts down the road. But today, we want to talk about healthy boundaries. This is something that I think is very important to really be able to discuss. It's something you should discuss with your significant other constantly. It's something you should assess in yourself, because healthy boundaries keeps you whole as a person.
Absolutely.
When you don't have healthy boundaries, it can erode who you are as a person to just a greasy, gross nub of an emotional mess. Oh, honey, I have weird analogies.
Yeah, I'm like, that's a weird analogy.
Well, that's kind of what I see in my head. It's kind of like I've seen someone who refuses to defend themselves, refuse to speak up, and they're just kind of this numb emotional mess.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've seen that. I don't know if I would describe it as an emotional nub, but I would describe...
I like the word nub.
Oh, I know. But I would say definitely someone that kind of loses themselves because they don't have the boundaries that they need to be able to feel that self-worth as a person.
And you know, what's interesting too is that when someone does set up healthy boundaries, it shows that they love who they are as a person. Mm-hmm. They expect people to respect their dignity, and it does show a level of confidence and strength, which is actually really quite sexy.
Yeah. I feel that I've talked to men where they want a woman that's self-confident. They don't want someone that's going to let them walk all over them.
And, you know, I'm going to rephrase this a little bit. I would say healthy men and women, because I would say when I talk to healthy women, mm-hmm. you know, who are healthy in themselves, enjoy a man who is also confident,
right.
who is sure of themselves,
right.
who will stand up for what is right.
Yes.
You know, I'm not saying they have to be Captain America, but, you know, I've heard women who on one hand say, I want a sensitive man, but at the same time complain. It's like, I wish this guy would have a pair of balls and stand up for what is right.
That's exactly what I was thinking was, you know, I've heard women say that, just grow some balls and, you know, do something about this. So yeah, I would agree. I think it's on both sides. Both men and women feel that they need that self-confident person to, to be with that person. I feel that they...
I think it has to do with security.
Yeah.
Security definitely. In the relationship. Because if you're with someone who's a little wishy-washy, it makes you a little insecure of the health of that relationship. Will this person actually protect me? And you know, I'm using these words, but I'm not saying, well, that's a man's job or a woman's job.
Right.
You know, a man wants to know that they're respected.
Right.
And if they get intimate and they tell a woman certain things, that they will be that what they say is going to be protected.
Right. That it's not going to be, you know, shout out to social media or to all of their friends just to embarrass them. They want to feel that security. And I think women feel the same way. They want to have that security that the man's not going to, you know, go off and tell all his friends about what she's feeling emotionally or physically or spiritually or whatever it might be.
Because what's interesting is that even though we're talking about healthy boundaries, it almost has a little bit of a negative connotation, like, oh, we're talking about conflict here.
Right.
And although that has a lot to do with it, it actually fosters, we believe that it fosters intimacy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if I know where the line is with you, and you know where the line is with me, healthy people can actually assume to saying, okay, then they're going to hold a line with other people concerning us.
Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely agree with that. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I feel that when women have men come on to them, if they're in a relationship and they're having boundaries with their significant other or family members or whoever it might be, then I feel like it might foster trust as opposed to when someone's wishy-washy and not really letting them walk all over them. They may feel that they might get in a situation that wouldn't be good because they don't have those healthy boundaries up.
No, that's true. Because like I take comfort in the fact that when you tell me no, then you're telling other men no.
Right.
I mean, if you're telling, and I'm a sexy beast, ladies and gentlemen. I know you can't see it, but you know, I am. But I do. I take comfort in knowing I'm like, well, if she's going to tell someone as hot as me no, I'm not that hot, ladies. I'm just stroking my own ego. You know, no, then she's going to tell other people no. And that's, if you really think about it, that should be a comforting thing. So when it looks at setting healthy boundaries, you can't look at this as we're setting problems in our relationship. We're creating drama in our relationship.
Right.
If anything, you are creating a
intimacy
and a safe place for your relationship to grow
and making it healthier as well.
I think of it this way. When you take gardening, for example, especially here in Arizona and a lot of places, you know, one of the ways to get a really good garden is to do those raised garden beds. Well, what is it? A raised garden bed is a clear box that has boundaries in it. So mm-hmm. that way the soil could in the box can actually stay safe from the weeds, from
right.
the crabgrass that can get inside and affect the entire garden. A relationship is the same way. A relationship with healthy boundaries allows all the good stuff in the relationship, the love, the intimacy, the mm-hmm. Togetherness, the goal setting, the expectations to be able to germinate, to grow, and to really become healthy without the fear of stuff getting in. And so when it comes to setting healthy boundaries, you are actually protecting A, your dignity as a person.
Right.
But B, you're also creating a situation for your relationship to grow. And that's why it's going to take both of you.
Yes. And I just have to say that was a much better analogy than what you had used before. So
you don't like the nub?
No.
I still like the nub. I'm going to find other podcasts to bring in the nub.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry, listeners.
So where are times that you need to set a healthy boundary? Well, let's look at it. Some of it's actually pretty simple. If you go, you know, you can Google this. You can find, you know, Psychology Today, Positive Psychology. You can look at Harvard studies. You can look up a lot of different studies. You can simply type in the keyword, you know, healthy boundaries in relationships, and you'll get a slew of information. We're not going to insult your intelligence that you guys can't look up some of these things for yourself, but right. you will see a pattern. We'll bring up the pattern. You need to set healthy boundaries when it comes to the issues of violations. And they come in about three ways. One is verbal violations. This is when someone says something that hurts you as a person or violates your trust.
Mm-hmm. Or degrades you as a person, makes you feel less than who you are, who you know you are.
And saying stuff like this in the heat of an argument is not an excuse to let it go.
Right.
Just because I'm upset with my wife doesn't give me the right to call her a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Or to say things along those lines, because when we use those words, we are tearing down them as a person.
Right.
And so her response should set up a violation saying, yeah, I know we're angry, but mm-hmm. you're not going to call me that name.
Right.
You're not going to address me that way. And we'll get into how to kind of set up a boundary in a little bit. But the first one is verbal violations. But sometimes they're not always overly aggressive, like a name calling. Verbal violations could be a comment.
Mm-hmm.
Can be a tone. It can be sarcasm.
That's a big one. Sarcasm can be a big one.
It could be a soft whisper of a jab.
Mm-hmm.
So to speak, like one person does something and the other one just kind of like rolls their eyes and says, it's like, oh, you're just like your mother.
Right.
You're just like your father. Well, you know, it's a cut down, but it's not necessarily a overt name calling, But let's face it, folks, if you didn't have a good mother or a good father, doesn't that sting? And if your significant other knows that, then they know that that probably is going to hurt you the most. You know, and a lot of times when people do verbal violations, it's because they're hurt themselves, or it's a cowardly way of winning an argument.
Mm-hmm.
You know, verbal violations is definitely an area that you have to set up healthy boundaries. It's even in the way that you talk to people. You can be, you know, I guess what's the new word, mansplaining.
Mm-hmm. Mansplaining.
You know, I could be mansplaining and. That could be a verbal violation because my wife is saying, you're talking down to me like if I'm a child.
Yes.
You know. So that's one. Lise, do you want to bring up the next one right here?
Mental and emotional violations. That can be anything from calling you stupid or talking down to you like he was mentioning before. As far as... making it so that, you know, just the way his tone is causing you to feel like he thinks you're stupid. Emotional violations. You have an example of that?
Oh, it could also be on nonverbal language. Like, you know, just like, what did they used to call it? A dark cloud. You know, some people can get the dark cloud where you can just get that vibe from them that they're just not happy with something. And they're almost... amplifying it so you know that they're not happy with you. So instead of coming out and actually speaking up and saying, I'm angry with this, they're acting in a way.
Right.
And it's actually pushing your mental and emotional distress. It could also be discounting an emotion.
Yeah, that could be. I was going to mention the fact that with the dark cloud and whatnot, it could be they just ignoring you, not responding to you talking to them, or, you know, if they're too busy or what it might be, causing you to feel that you're not that important to them.
Yep. That affects the emotional, the mental and the emotional well-being of a person. This can also include discounting someone's emotions. Your significant other cried at a movie, cried at a football game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, they thought they were just somehow emotional heroes. And, you know, for those of you out there who are trying to figure out which gender goes to which, yeah, have fun with that and argue in the car. I'm not even going to bring it up. But it's looking at the other person saying, why are you crying about this? That's not something to cry about. Mm-hmm. You know, that's an emotional violation. You know, no one really gets a right to tell you how to feel.
Right.
You can have a discussion of whether this emotion is healthy for you or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a podcast for a different day.
Well, it could even be the fact that they think that you should be over something and you're not. I mean, if you're grieving a death, you know, sometimes people think, oh, you should be over that by now.
Yeah, he died like 30 days ago. Come on.
Right.
Get over it.
Exactly. And that can be an emotional violation as well.
Acting in a way that's causing another person anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, sometimes people will do things and they don't even realize they're violating your emotions or causing you some mental distress. And if you don't put up a boundary, they're just going to keep doing it. And a lot of these things that we're saying may not be maliciously done.
Right.
You know, there's a writer named John Gottman, and he writes in his book, Seven Principles for a Healthy Marriage. He actually has a line in there that I love. And he goes, a lot of times people do things out of mindlessness, not out of maliciousness, mm-hmm. which he's basically saying people didn't know that they were actually causing you mental or emotional distress.
Yes.
Such as anxiety, such as frustration. These are violations, and sometimes they could be very direct, like a verbal one. Sometimes they can be indirect, and a lot of the times the indirect ones are the ones that causes the most mental and emotional damage because of how the person is acting.
And that's why you have to have a voice.
Which we'll get into in just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's most important. Keep that note. You have a voice. The last one here, the last big category that usually you got to put up a boundary for is physical violations. Now, here we go. Sometimes physical we've used the word violations, but they can also be considered standards. So obviously you got the most obvious ones. If someone hits you, you better have a boundary up that says, you will not hit me. You know, that of course is, you know, a major violation that doesn't deserve a second chance. And if you make excuses for it, I am going to be praying for you and hoping you get help to see that you don't give second chances for that. You know, that's abuse.
Yes. You know. And something that should never be tolerated.
Yeah. But some physical violations are, could be in the area of sex. They don't necessarily have to be in the area of abuse, but a boundary could be of what are you willing to do physically with a person in various settings?
Mm-hmm.
If you're on the first date, you might be a person that says, I don't kiss on the first date. And it's okay to have that boundary up and communicate that boundary.
Mm-hmm.
You might be a person that says, well, you know, I'm not going to be that physical out in public. It makes me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to have that boundary. On the flip side, it's okay to kind of, you know, have up and saying, hey, when we're in a group setting, I want some sort of physical cue that shows everyone I'm with you, such as an arm around my, you know, waist or my shoulder or holding hands.
Right.
You know, believe it or not, sometimes these boundaries are what you need from a person, which is also connected to our last podcast about expectations.
Yes.
You know, so physical violations are there. And here's the other thing about physical violations. Just because on Monday you gave a green light doesn't mean you can't put up a healthy boundary come Tuesday or Wednesday when the act on Monday
doesn't make you feel comfortable.
Exactly.
You can look at that and say, you know what? This isn't working for me. I need to make a boundary so that that person, and then you need to let them know, which is something we're going to get into in just a minute. But you definitely need to, like he said, if you have done something and you're like, you know what, this act of whatever it might be.
We made out, we had sex, we had whatever in between. You consented on Monday.
And then on Tuesday you said, you know, I'm not feeling comfortable with this. It's okay to have that boundary. It's okay to put up that boundary, even if you've done it already.
And it should be respected.
Absolutely.
Both sides should respect it without ridicule.
Mm-hmm.
These are the three. You got verbal.
Or pushing,
yeah, absolutely. You got verbal, you got mental, emotional, and you got physical. And if we were going to open this up about healthy boundaries more, this is not just in relationships. This is in friendships. This is in family. This is even in the workplace. Mm-hmm. But for the sake of this podcast, we're just focusing on relationships right now.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you set up a healthy boundary with someone? Well, think about these four steps. And again, you can find these types of four steps defined in a variety of different ways from a variety of different counselors. But we're going to just kind of condense them down right here. The first thing you got to do is you got to recognize the fact that there was a violation that happened. This could have been something that someone said. It could have been how they said it. It could have been how they made you feel. It could have been what they did to you.
What
they didn't do. And so you must recognize that. Why do I feel the way that I do? Why am I uneasy with this? And recognize, hey, there's a boundary here that I need to put up.
Mm-hmm.
Once you recognize what it is, you also must define it. Why is this important? I have found in talking with couples that definitions matter. And ironically enough, even though we have a dictionary, not everyone has the same definition to a word.
Absolutely.
Or a concept.
Or how they might perceive what they're wanting.
For example, my wife loves, you know, iced vanilla coffees at Starbucks. Wouldn't you say you love them?
Yes.
What's your definition of love?
Probably getting me an iced vanilla coffee.
No, well, I mean, like, what is your definition of love for Starbucks? How would you define love?
I don't know. I want it. I'm not sure what.
Okay,
you're
want it. That's okay. That's good. That's want it. Yeah.
I'm not sure what you're
I would
asking.
Define it as an addiction.
Okay. Well. I would define it as happiness.
See, folks?
And I would have people that would agree with me.
And I would have people who would agree with me. So, you know, I'm teasing my wife here. I pick on her on stuff like that. But even though
it also makes you happy because I'm happy.
That is true. And then I'm happy. Yeah, never mind. That's for a different podcast. So Yeah, so here we go. If you notice that, as much as we were kind of playing with it, two different definitions of love. Lisa loves Starbucks. She says love made her happy. I said love was the addiction. Getting that clarified is important into communicating. Yep. Especially when it comes to setting up healthy boundaries. So the first thing is you want to define it. And that could be defining a word. It can be defining an action. And defining things are going to be very important in setting up a healthy boundary. Because sometimes you might think you set up a healthy boundary and the person just blows right through it. And then they're kind of confused. They're like, but I did what you said. And you're like, no, you didn't. And they're like, you said, you know, do this. And I did that. And they're like, that's not what I meant. So you can, some of you are like, oh, we've had those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Definitions matter.
Absolutely. I mean, we've had those conversations before.
Side note, if someone sets up a boundary with you and you're a little confused, ask them to define it.
Yes.
If someone says, hey, I'm uncomfortable when this person comes around us. Okay. Can you let me know what is it that makes you uncomfortable? Can you define what you mean by being uncomfortable? And then sit back and listen. You don't have to agree with their definition. You just have to understand their definition. And that's very important. So first thing, define it. Before you set up a healthy boundary, identify what it is. Define what it is.
I would even say write it down on a piece of paper so that you can kind of get it in your head before you communicate it to the other person.
Absolutely. All this you should write down first. Very few of us can really do things off the fly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no. Identify it. Define any words in there of your definitions. It's your personal dictionaries. You define it. Then communicate. Say what you need to say. One of the things I find in counseling couples is I'm always constantly saying, you must have your voice. You must speak up. We cannot expect the other person to read our minds or assume our body language should communicate a certain thing. We must speak up.
Absolutely. I our first year of marriage, I had to learn that. I had to learn to have my voice because for a while there, I would just kind of, you know, withdraw and not want to talk or not want to interact with you at all because I was upset. And, you know, when I was having counseling and therapy, my counselor told me, you have to speak up. He can't read your mind. He doesn't know what you need. You need to say it to him so he understands it.
And by the way, ladies, we read minds wrong.
Yes.
Because I thought I did read her mind and I read, oh, she didn't say anything. It must not be a big deal.
Right.
Boy, was I wrong. So, which leads us to this next thing. You got to keep it simple. All right. When I was in, you know, coaches across the nation had, especially old school coaches, it was the word KISS. It was an acronym KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Okay. You got to keep it simple. Why? Because there's a lot of us, especially us males, and I'm going to paint generalities. We can't do complex. You got to keep it simple. When you finally have your voice, you got to keep it simple of what clearly is your boundary that you are setting up. Because if you don't, it can get confused. You know, I remember, you know, both me and my wife, we love the show Friends, you know, and I think one of the funniest ones was when Rachel was it a breakup letter or was it an explanation letter?
Nope. It was an explanation letter. They were thinking about getting back together. As you can tell, I'm a Friends fan. They were thinking about getting back together and she decided to write this gigantic letter, 18 pages front and back, as Ross so aptly put it. And she made it so long that he was so tired, he fell asleep. And it was one of those things where she wanted him to basically take responsibility for the whole relationship.
Oh, yeah, because they're trying to get back together, right. Wasn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Ross had no clue because he goes, it was 18 pages front and back. You know, you got to keep it simple. Whether it's a male communicating to a female or a female communicating to a male, you have to keep it simple. It
would have been better for her to say, I need you to take responsibility for this whole relationship. and have him not have to read through 18 pages of ridiculousness than her writing that long letter that made him fall asleep.
It's so true. And honestly, it's a lot. People are very simple, and you got to keep it that way. And that was kind of a fun anecdotal story of it, but it is true. It's the reason why we all laugh, and it's why it's still a classic. Right. We have to keep it simple. So when you set up a boundary, you got to identify what's this boundary that was crossed for yourself. You got to define any words you think you need to define for yourself and for them. You got to speak up and say, hey, I need you to stop or start doing this. And it needs to be simple enough that anyone could understand, even people listening in. And the last part of it, and this is the key to setting up a boundary, it has to have consequences. This sounds so negative, but the consequences can both be negative and positive.
Give an example.
Oh, I'll use ours. As you can hear in this podcast, I probably do majority of the talking. Mm-hmm. That's just my personality. You know, it really is. I'm a teacher. I do these things. This is just what I do. So if me and Lisa are having a conflict, I might be just going at her with facts and figures, and I'm just pushing, I'm pushing, I'm pushing. And she will have to, because she can't get a word in, she will actually set up a boundary. And what do you usually say to me?
Let me speak. I'll even say, if you're talking to me not very nice, I'll say, don't talk to me that way.
Yeah, very.
I'm not okay with that.
Yeah. If we're on the phone, what do you say?
If you don't stop, I'm going to hang up.
And if I didn't stop, what do you do?
I hang up.
Oh, yeah, which drives me freaking up the wall.
But I make it clear to him, hey, if you don't stop, I'm going to hang up. And so he's very aware, if he doesn't stop, I'm hanging up.
Yeah, she's gotten good enough now where I know the moment she says that, I actually start shutting up, because I know for a fact she's going to hang up, because she set a boundary. Stop talking to me this way. If you don't, I'm going to hang up. And when I pushed it, she hung up. And here's the key for it works. It has to be consistent.
Right.
The consequence has to be consistent.
It can even be as simple as, if you don't stop talking to me this way, I'm leaving the room and we're not going to talk for a while. It can be that too. I've had to do that even with family. Like, you know what? I'm not okay with how riled up you are. I'm walking away now.
Even vice versa. I think I've said to Lisa before, I'm like, babe, I don't have time for you to process this. I need a decision or I'm going to make one without you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now I know some of you are like, probably just, right now. Hey, there's more context to that. But for the sake of this, even as someone in this relationship, I had to set up a healthy boundary of saying, I can't always wait for you, you know, so we need to figure this out now,
but at the same time, if we do have time for me to process, he does allow that. So yes. It's not just all the time. We don't have time. It's more when it's like something that we have to make a decision about right now.
And because we've both set up those boundaries, we're able to find the middle and the compromise of giving you time to process and her understanding when it's time to make a decision.
Right.
And so that's by putting those consequences in actually helped us learn how to work together. Because I don't want to get the consequence from her, but I do need to know where the line is and I need to know where we can compromise. But setting a healthy boundary is not always a negative consequence. It can be a positive one. It can be, hey, if you're willing to talk about this calmly and rationally, I have no problem coming over. If you're willing to talk about this calmly and rationally,
I'll stay in the room.
I'll stay in the room.
Usually heated arguments.
Yeah, in arguments. But if it could be a situation of saying, hey, if you promise not to leave me alone at this party, I don't want to be in a situation where I'm by myself. If you promise not to leave me alone, which is a boundary, I'll make sure you have a good night, if you know what I mean. Okay. So, it's, there is positive consequences that you can put into there that maintain a healthy boundary. Hey, if you want me to share with you what's really inside my heart and inside my mind, you cannot be saying it to others.
Right.
You cannot be gossiping with others. And if I can trust you, then I'll tell you more.
I would even say it's more of an incentive.
Yeah.
You know, positive consequences, I would say, is more of an incentive to have that intimacy, you know, to have that conversation that, you know, like I've said before in past podcasts, I'm a, I can't think of the word right now. I'm a processor, whereas he wants to go right for it. You know, he wants to just hash it out and get it out. And so it could be, you know what, if you're willing to talk about this calmly, then we can talk about it right now, you know. But if you're going to go off and, you know, keep pushing, then I need to be able to process this.
Absolutely. Setting healthy boundaries protects your dignity. Mm-hmm. Setting healthy boundaries builds a framework for your relationship to grow. And what's beautiful is that as you grow together as a couple, then as a couple, you will actually help each other with their boundaries with other people.
Yeah. I think that as a couple, sometimes you have to have boundaries as well with other people, with family.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a huge one. Even with like holidays and stuff like that, sometimes you have to set up those boundaries now that you're a couple or now that you're married of who are we going to spend time with, you know, during Christmas or during Thanksgiving or, you know, we actually want to start our own traditions now that we have children, you know, that type of thing. I feel like that has to be in there too.
Well, just even dynamics with other people. We'll get into, you know, family dynamics down the road, but just even as a little one, if I know my wife's boundary that she doesn't get along with, you know, maybe a certain family member. And if my family's missing, listening, I'm honestly kind of just making this up as I go along. But if she doesn't get along with a certain family member, then I know to keep an eye on the situation.
Right.
And to not put her in a situation that could have a verbal violation, cause her to be emotionally hurt, you know. Luckily, my family wouldn't dare do anything physical, so I don't even have to kind of play with that. But that would be the type of situation is that as a couple, I would even be able to help reinforce her boundaries to keep them healthy. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the most beautiful things that can happen in a relationship is that not only is healthy boundaries good for you as a person, as an individual, but having healthy boundaries is good for you as a couple. You know, there might be situations you don't want to put yourself in where you might be tempted to flirt with another person or be given into cheating or, you know, have a situation that can actually cause a fight between the two of you. And if this person is going to be the most important person in your life, then setting healthy boundaries will protect you as a couple and allow you your love to grow.
And I would encourage you as couples to talk about those boundaries together. With, say, the opposite sex? What are you comfortable with? You know, are you comfortable with your significant other being in, you know, the same room as their ex? Are you comfortable with them being in the same room with, you know, just an opposite sex in general? Like, what are you comfortable with, you know, and discussing those boundaries with each other?
So, and if you'll notice that this is going to be closely connected to your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't get to hear the podcast on expectations, I encourage you to go back to listen to that particular podcast, because I would say that healthy boundaries and expectations probably go hand in hand on this.
I would agree.
You know, the analogy that you brought up and the situation you brought up is important. And the part I would probably add to that is boundaries are fluid.
Mm-hmm.
They're not all of them are going to always be up. Sometimes they might come down. And sometimes something you thought you were okay with, you might realize you have to put a boundary up, you know, afterwards For example, you use that whole thing about maybe being around your ex. You might have been told, maybe your significant other actually was very upfront saying, hey, we're going to a party, you know, there's going to be a person there that I dated for 4 years. We almost got married. It just didn't work out, but I just wanted to let you know they're going to be there. Are you okay with it? And on that moment, you're like, yeah, I'm okay with it. You get to the party, you see their interaction with your significant other. Even if your significant other is trying to be very much a person above reproach, all of a sudden you don't really feel good about it. And then on the ride home, it is okay to say something like, you know, I was okay with it, but now I'm not okay with it.
Right. It's going back to that thing where you tried something, you did something on Monday, and then figure out, wait a minute, I'm not okay with it. It's the same kind of situation.
And a healthy relationship will listen to each other and figure out, at minimum, a compromise. But if you really love the person, you might just respect the boundary. You know, later on, we're going to have a we'll actually podcast a concept, which is a filter in addressing issues in a relationship, which is, do you want to be right or do you want to have a relationship? And I think understanding the art and science of that phrase will help you navigate things such as love takes work and expectations and setting up healthy boundaries. Because at the end of the day, you can argue whether it's this act is right in terms of being loving, or if this expectation is right or wrong, or if this healthy boundary is actually right. You can argue that. Heck, you might even win the argument.
Right. Do you want to be right or do you want to have a relationship?
We'll get into that next time. I encourage you, if you have a hard time setting up healthy boundaries in your life, I would say find a pastor, a licensed counselor, a therapist.
A trusted friend or even a trusted family member.
And really dive into learning how to build those skills so you can build healthy relationships in your life. And when you can do it in your own life, you might be able to create a framework where a beautiful relationship can grow with another.
Absolutely.
All right, that's all for today. And let us remember, love is not just of the heart,
but also of the mind.
If you enjoyed this podcast and realize that you and your future spouse could benefit from some premarital coaching, check us out on facebook.com/HM Premarital or search Heart and Mind Premarital. There you will find a list of services and costs that might suit your needs. The first 30-minute session is free to ensure that we are a good fit. And if we are, we will continue from there. Give your marriage a fighting chance of survival and receive some premarital coaching today. Check us out on facebook.com/H&M Premarital.